And hello again, I'm Ian Masters, and this is a Background Briefing, and I'm joined by Dean Baker, who is the co-director of the Center for Economic and Policy Research, a progressive economic think tank based in Washington, D.C. His latest book is Taking Economics Seriously. He also wrote Plunder and Blunder, The Rise and Fall of the Bubble Economy, and in 1999, Social Security, The Phony Crisis. His blog, Beat the Press, elaborates critical issues in American media. And it seems that the Republicans have been arguing amongst themselves over how much they want to cut from the federal budget. Apparently, they didn't want it. The Tea Party is showing its muscle here, and now they're talking about, instead of about $40 billion in cuts, $100 billion in cuts. Dean Baker, how are we to take this seriously? Because on the one hand, they're not going to cut anything from defense, but they want to cut foreign aid. And anybody that knows anything about the new security profile and out there in the world knows that we lost Iraq because we didn't deliver on aid and infrastructure. We're in the process of leaving Afghanistan because we haven't delivered on civilian aid and infrastructure. And here they are wanting to cut that. And they also want to cut a lot of money out of the Department of Energy in terms of alternative energy, green energy, conservation, etc. At the same time, they don't want to end subsidies for their powerful friends in the oil industry. So is this just a farce?
Well, a lot of this is Washington's a farce. I mean, frankly, I have to say, I don't know, our lack of aid to Iraq or Afghanistan was the reasons that we've had problems there. We're not very good at occupying power. Not many countries are. So I think that's the bigger cause. But that aside, I mean, they did this tirade about, out-of-control spending, and they're saying they want to cut out-of-control spending. The reality is that the areas of spending they're looking to actually aren't that large, and once you start cutting any significant amount there, you're going to hit real services that people tend to value. So you're talking about cutting back, they're talking about cutting back on funding for the National Institutes of Health, so new research, cutting back programs to provide care for mothers with newborn kids. It's easy abstractly to yell about government waste, and surely there is some, but the reality is once you start talking about cutting large amounts of money, you're not cutting government waste because there's no bucket there that just sits there, government waste, so we could just say, let's get rid of that. You're talking about cutting real programs that the fact is most people really do value.
But Dean Baker, aren't they only talking about 12% of the budget? And that's the part of it that I find surreal, that they're making all of this noise over cutting 12%.
Well, I find that part somewhat surreal, but let me find what I find more surreal is that we're having an argument over the budget when you have 9% of the population, 9% of the workforce unemployed. It's just kind of amazing that here you've had, we're in the worst downturn since the Great Depression. We have 25 million people unemployed, underemployed, giving up work altogether, and no one's talking about that. We're talking about these silly budget cuts. I mean, that's what's really amazing.
Well, but that's a part of this incredibly successful deficit hoax, isn't it?
Yeah. And unfortunately, President Obama's going along with it. So rather than getting out there and going, look, we have to spend money to create jobs, and it's not because, I mean, you could put in the exact wording, but the point is it's not because you like to have the government spend money, but the reality is that the private sector is not going to do it right now. And we could, say nice things to all the business executives, tell them they're wonderful people and everything, and they're still not going to invest because business don't invest because you tell them they're wonderful people. They invest because they expect to make a profit, and they're not going to do that when there's no demand in the economy. But unfortunately, that discussion, I know people in the administration say, oh, we can't say that, even though it's true, and everyone knows it's true.
Well, but Bernanke, in testimony today, did say that we need more stimulus, and he's not afraid of, unlike his predecessor, he's not afraid of inflation.
Well, I'm sure he is afraid of inflation, but reality is, there's no...
He didn't think it was a factor.
...story about inflation right now.
Right.
I appreciate that, and it's good that he's been willing to come forward and say that, because he's one of the few people in Washington... he's not up for re-election, so he's in a position to say it, and, thankfully he's been doing that and pressing on it. I don't know how much impact it has, but it's better that, at least he says it than he doesn't.
Again, I'm speaking with Dean Baker, co-director of the Center for Economics and Policy Research. He's also has a blog, Beat the Press, and we're talking about how the Tea Party within the Republican caucus, they've been arguing over budget cuts, and the Tea Party, the new freshmen, have shown some muscle here and demanding more cuts. But the question is any of this realistic? And most of it only applies to the 12% of the budget that's already been systematically cut over the years. But they're talking also, of course, some of this seems so blatantly ideological. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting zeroing that out, Clinton's AmeriCorps. But again, the cuts that I find particularly hypocritical are in energy conservation. I mean, doesn't anybody... How many times have you heard presidents and George W. Bush talking about our dependency on foreign oil? I mean,
it's utterly absurd. And, you know, they've been pushing this myth. And again, I blame President Obama somewhat for not being more aggressive on this, that, you know, they've been pushing this idea, oh, if we would just drill everywhere. You remember Sarah Palin at the convention, her drill baby drill, and the drill here, drill now. So if we just drilled for oil everywhere, somehow we'll be independent. And, you know, of course, the two big problems with that story, one is what we saw with the BP oil spill. It does risk the environment, and I'm just amazed that you know, these people, if we had anything resembling sort of normal discourse, they would have to wear a bag over their head for the next 20 years. I mean, that was a disaster. It would damage the environment. It damaged, you know, they care about business jobs. Well, you can't very well have a tourism industry when your beaches are covered with oil. You know, it doesn't help your fishing industry when you're pulling up fish, that, you know, shrimp that are black. You know, so that part of the story didn't make sense. The other part is we don't have that much oil, and everyone knows that. And, you know, if you talk about energy independence, there's this reporter in the Washington Post, not reporter, columnist in the Washington Post, Robert Samuelson, who I always love making fun of. He had this thing about, oh, we should be drilling everywhere. Well, if you drill everywhere, you pull the oil out and it's gone. That doesn't make you independent. You know, if we're really concerned that we're going to have this situation where the bad guys team up on us and won't sell us oil, well, then that's the time we'd really be happy to have the oil in the ground. If we've already drilled it out, then we don't have it. So then if the bad guys want to get us, well, then they can get us because we don't have any oil left. And it's just, that's like, it's simple. My joke about Robert Samuelson was you can't burn your oil and have it too. So if we want to be concerned about, you know, we might be cut off from oil at some point, last thing on earth you should want to do is drill all your oil out of the ground now.
Well, Dean Baker, you know, WikiLeaks apparently have revealed a document from a very high-ranking insider in Aramco, the Saudi oil company, who told American diplomats that they've been lying about their reserves by at least 40% and that they've reached peak oil.
I mean, well, they may have. I mean, look, there's been this bizarre – I really frankly can't understand it, this bizarre obsession about peak oil. And the reality is anyone who tells you they know what peak oil is not telling you the truth. We don't know, and it really doesn't matter. What we do know is that demand is outstripping supply, and that means prices are going to rise. And it doesn't matter whether we hit peak oil in 2015, 2025, or 2045. In all of those scenarios, demand is rising more rapidly than supply. It's going to raise the price. So this obsession about peak oil is really kind of a sidebar. The more basic point we all know to be true, so there's really nothing to argue over.
Well, but I bring it up because of the fundamental counterintuitive nature of the Republicans in the House, and particularly the Tea Party people, who are supposed to represent some breath of fresh air, but they looking like they're shilling for the dirtiest, the most entrenched industries like coal and oil, and protecting these absolutely unnecessary subsidies for these companies that are making record profits. At the same time, cutting all of the funding out of any alternative, including the high-speed rail project here in California, all of the alternative energy projects they want to cut. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
No, it's not a long term. It's not a midterm. It's not even a near term strategy. Because again, you know, in the near term, this spending is a great thing. It creates jobs. You know, and it's not as though they have some alternative plan. It's not, you know, if we if we actually found the Department of Waste, Fraud, and Abuse and cut its budget. That's not going to create jobs, because right now we need demand in the economy, and cutting government spending is not going to generate demand, at least not in any story I know how to tell.
So is it possible then, Dean Baker, that Fred Upton and these new chairs and Hal Rogers, that the fact that, the Koch brothers put all that money into the Tea Party, is it now becoming apparent that it's the Koch brothers who are getting their way in this country? The Tea Party doesn't have any ideology. They're just a bunch of shills for billionaires.
It's hard to say. I mean, it should be apparent, but it should have been apparent before that, you know, this is a group of people. I mean, some of them, I'm sure, are sincere, but nonetheless, they're being manipulated by people who have other agendas. You know, I think that should have been apparent long ago, but now
it's in the ink of the budget. Now we know what their priorities are.
Well, we haven't
got the full budget yet, but this is what apparently they're talking about.
I mean, I don't know there'll be any great breakthroughs or revelations. As I say, a lot of these things should have been pretty evident long ago. You know, running around drill baby drill when.
Sure.
You know, we have pretty good data on how much oil is potentially there. It really doesn't change anything. Even if we drill here, drill now, and drain it all out, it really doesn't change anything in terms of the fact that, you know, there's a limited amount of oil there, and we're going to be dependent on either foreign sources or alternative energies. Those are our choices.
Well, I thank you for joining us here today in Los Angeles. Dean Baker, again, the co-director of the Center for Economic and Policy Research. He also has a popular blog, Beat the Press. I'd like to thank producer Spencer Downing, engineer Devin Jordan, and I'll be back on Sunday at 11 a.m. with another background briefing. Until then, have a very pleasant couple of days. Bye for now. The guy that lived next door.